Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Chibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffee Grande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Chibo-Filiale und auf chibo.de.
Welcome to Predictable with Stu. PredictableShow.com is the place to go to sign up for the Substack, get the newsletter, get all the information that you need to get about prediction markets and the elections that we're dealing with. Now, we had an election last night, primaries. One of the pieces that we put up on Substack called the Plattner Play gave you an outline as to what you should do during the Graham Plattner election. We'll go through the results of that here in just a moment. I'll also give you, and this is what I try to do every single time after we have an election, give you every single position that we had in that election, show you the good news, the bad news, and everything in between, and we'll talk to you about what your questions are with prediction markets, what we're looking for going in the future. In the next few weeks, we have more primaries coming up, and a lot more. So stick with us. It's Predictable with Stu at PredictableShow.com. All right, it's Predictable with Stu. Check us out on all the social media. Follow us there. Do the things that you're supposed to do as good social media compadres. We appreciate it. We're building a bankroll together in leading into the November elections. And each week, we're kind of going big on these primary elections right now because it seems like there's opportunities in each and every one of them. We will see if that continues to go forward. But so far, our results have been very, very positive. We'll get into all those here in just a second. Right now, yesterday was Oklahoma. Coming up next week, Oklahoma, Alabama, the runoff election there, and the Georgia runoff is next week. So not a ton of stuff, but I think there'll be opportunities there. June 23rd is Maryland, New York, Utah, and South Carolina runoff. By the way, we pointed this out with the California elections. Last night was the South Carolina election. They count all the votes, and they get to their runoff, their entire new election in 2 weeks. By then, California will be 3 or 4 weeks into just counting their vote. Trying to figure out who won. Perfect. June 27th is Saturday. That's a Louisiana runoff. And then 30th is Colorado, all in front of us. But last night, behind us, and we want to look back and review what we did. What can we learn? What was a good idea? What was maybe a bad idea? We learned this from the primary elections last night that we talked about. And what I want to focus on first is Maine. Maine was sort of the highest profile election. There was lots of controversy going on around Graham Plattner, and we decided to dive into that with a written piece that we posted at the Substack at PredictableShow.com. It was called The Plattner Play, at least the graphic said. Here's a great election quick profit opportunity. Graham Plattner has provided some opportunities. Yeah, he sure has. Why? Because we look at this election, and you look at these election graphs and everything that's going on with them, and you notice that Graham Plattner is going through all of this stuff. And the traditional way to react to that is, well, he's got a lower chance to win because of all of the controversies. But you need to analyze that and you need to go through it. Now, the Plattner play lined this out pretty well, giving you four quick points as to why Graham Plattner to win this election was interesting. Number one, Janet Mills, his only opponent, had dropped out of the race. And even when she was in the race, she was down by 30 points. Number two, about a third of the vote had already been in before this latest controversy happened. So almost all those people probably went to Graham Plattner. Plattner getting a bunch of new accusers was a worry and is a worry, I think, for the Democrats. And if you happen to have Plattner winning in November, there's a real worry there that there's going to be hundreds, thousands, millions of other women that come forward and say terrible things about him. That being said, though, that election was specifically in the rules designated. It says right here, this market will resolve after a consensus of designated media sources have called the winner of the Maine Democratic Senate primary scheduled for June 9th. In other words, this is about Tuesday's election. This is not about what's going on in November. So we have that. And then fourth, kind of a non-scientific measure from my part, I don't think the Democrats care about this at all. And they're the ones voting in this primary. So I just didn't see anything that was going to happen that was going to upend Graham Plattner's run. We gave you a few different ways to play. We'll come back to that here in just a second. Maine Democrats did wind up picking Graham Plattner, scandals and all, to take on Susan Collins. Here's the final vote count, and it was a big margin for Graham Plattner, 72-19. 72-19. So again, not much worry from the Democrats on that. We gave you a few different ways to play this election, and we were able to do very, very well. Another really good night. Honestly, we've had, what, four or five primaries we've done since we launched the show, and all of them have been really good nights so far. So hopefully you're joining us. Hopefully you're following along. I got a lot of feedback from you during the live streams last night that we did for Blaze TV and the YouTube show, YouTube channel, youtube.com/@predictableshow. And of course, on the Substack as well, at Predictable Show. A lot of you are coming along for the ride on a lot of these investments. And so far we've done great. Honestly, it's been great. You know, you're going to have, I'm sure, a bad day one of these days, but so far we haven't seen that, which is nice. Here is the chart for the Maine Democratic Senate nominee. Of course, Graham Plattner winning and ending up at 100%. If you kind of look at the very end of this chart, and I'll describe for you if you're on podcast, you see him getting up, I don't know, maybe it's May of 2026, up to that 95% level right after what's-her-face Mills drops out. And it stays steady right there around, I don't know, 98, 99%. And then there's that little dip. That little dip is where the Plattner play came into effect. Yes, I know. It doesn't look like a lot from that distance. And it really isn't a lot when it comes to percentages. One of the things we focus on all the time is what our annual percentage rate is on an investment. Not just whether, you know, if you're making 1%, what's the big deal on that? But if you're making 1% in one day, if you annualize it, that's 365% annual. We're not going to get that every single day, of course, but we can lock in those gains here and there and everywhere as many times as we can in as many markets as we can and take those victories forward. We stack with Stu, stack these gains, stack them until we get to November. And then we have a nice big bankroll to go big on the November election. So we did win with that. The way that played out was when I wrote the piece, it was he was at 95.5% chance to win. If that means you have a 4.5 cent in gain on every 95.5 cent invested. Long story short, that's a 4.7% return in 4 days, or about a 429% annual return. That's how we kind of contextualize these investments. Now, the numbers are much, much higher for these other investments. We did two other plays. One was the margin of victory. Now, this is the margin of victory market for Graham Plattner. Of course, he did win. We had a couple of different pieces here. If you see the one at the top, the one that wound up winning was Graham Plattner by more than 50 points. Again, the final was 72-19. So we cleared that by a few points. That was sort of our longest shot in this particular piece that we wrote at predictableshow.com. I wrote, the most enticing option is Plattner to win by 50 plus points. Currently sitting around 40% chance. You can more than double your money here. You just you're looking for Plattner to get around 75% of the vote. Now, he actually ended up at 72, but because of the third candidate, it was still plenty to clear that possibility. So 40, you're getting 60 cents on a 40 cent investment, which is 150% profit in 4 days. So I really hope that you took advantage of that. By the way, I talked to several people who listened to the show or read the piece and wound up investing in this and making a good money. I talked to one person yesterday who bought at about 50 cents on that particular market and then wound up selling at about 75 cents, locked in a nice 50% profit, didn't ride it all the way to the top. That's fine. You don't have to do that every time. Take your chunks of profit where you can get them. I talked to another person who rode it all the way to the end and got the full benefit of that particular market. A very nice market increase there. Now, I had actually, you know, that was like a long shot. I wasn't sure we were going to win that market, but I thought there was value there. On the other side, there was a market that was, I thought, gave a little bit better returns than that 4.7% margin we were talking about on the first market, just whether he would win. And that was the margin that was basically that Plattner will win by between 10 and 20 points. Okay, so you're talking about somewhere between 55-45 election to a 60-40 election in that general vicinity. And I think I just thought he was going to win by a lot more than that. He did win up by a lot more than that. So I went no on the 10 to 20% market. We rode that to the end as well in the piece. He was in the high 80s is where we started recommending that. And if you see here, the no position. This is sort of reversed. This is the yes position, but the no position on that market wound up paying out very easily. I mean, he cleared that by a mile. Bottom line is, we hit on all three of those things. So if you read that piece, if you just took your money and invested in the three things that we recommended, again, we're not a financial advice show, but we are trying to find winners here. We're trying to find them together. You would have done very, very well, as we did last night. There's a few other elections to talk about. The most interesting one of the night, I mean, the Plattner thing was pretty much a sure thing that he was going to win. The only question was the margin there. And we watched that kind of to the end. Excuse me. My voice is just, I've had this cough, like this lingering, scratchy, frog in the throat type of cough for a month. It's great. I freaking love it. It's definitely not annoying trying to do multiple shows a day with it. I will tell you that. Okay, so in South Carolina, the Republican governor primary, this is how that played out. Pamela Yvette at 28.9% of the vote. Alan Wilson at 26.1% of the vote. Ralph Norman was in third at 17. Rahm Reddy at 14. And Nancy Mace at 12. Keep this up for just a moment because I want to talk through what we wanted to do here. Our idea was to go through these particular markets and take the bottom three, which was Norman, Reddy, and Mace. They were trading at 1 or 2 cents when we made this investment in this segment that we did last week. And the hope was that for the first few, 15, 20% of the vote, one of these three would get into that top two and start looking really, really good to make it to the runoff, which is where the top two come from, and pop into that range. And honestly, the worst case scenario for that particular idea was that Yvette and Wilson would go off to an early lead and hold it the entire time. Well, unfortunately, that's exactly what happened. Right. That's exactly what happened. Yvette and Wilson got off to an early lead. The first few thousand votes, they were up by a lot, and they just held that. It wound up getting closer as the night went on, but honestly, none of the other candidates ever really popped. So that was an L, unfortunately. Now, there was opportunity to take profit on each one of those three candidates before the election day started, and I talked to some people who did that. I did it a little bit, not as much as I would have liked now in retrospect, but generally speaking, it was a small investment. We're talking about 1% or 2%. Which you should be looking at and kind of mentally modeling the idea. That's a 50 to 100 to 1 type of opportunity. If that one of those would have hit, would have been fantastic. But generally speaking, we didn't expect it to hit. It didn't hit. And unfortunately, one of our long shots goes down there. By the way, we'll go through every position that I had yesterday here in just a minute. Also want to give you this. Lindsey Graham was another big position that we had. And this is an interesting market because Graham wins with 56.8% of the vote. Mark Lynch comes in second, 28.9, and a third candidate there, Thomas Dismukes, 5.2%. Not really a factor, but Lynch was not I wouldn't say a top-tier candidate. It might be a great guy. I don't know him. I don't know much about his candidacy, but he was not like a heavily funded candidate. And this one's sort of basically what you'd expect out of Lindsey Graham when you look at his history. A win, but a particularly unimpressive win. The fact that you're only getting 57% in a race where you're kind of the only one in there. I mean, Lynch was a candidate, but not a highly funded. He didn't have 10 super PACs behind him. It was basically Lindsey Graham running against how many people don't like Lindsey Graham, and he barely won over 50%. So it was not impressive at all. And when I look at these two, because we won very big. Again, small percentage, but it was my largest position was technically on Lindsey Graham to just win, which he did. But it wasn't super sexy investment. It was in the range of whatever the Plattner to win range was. It was in that, 3 or 4 percentage points, 5 percentage points, maybe it was. I also went into the markets on margin. Lindsey, it was the same type of thing I did with Plattner, where it was 10 to 20%. I said no. I thought he would win by more than 20%. He did win that one, so he won that market. But I also had a flyer in Graham plus 40%, I think it was. And that's the one that bothers me more than anything, because the South Carolina one, I think the process was really clean there. I think it was the right play. I think it was I think the value was really there for one of those candidates to pop off. Didn't quite happen. Didn't go our way. But I feel really confident in the process there. And looking at that election and saying, hey, is this a good way to play this election? I feel like the answer to that is yes. So I feel good about that one. I feel annoyed at myself for going for Lindsey Graham over 40%, largely because I knew he was a weak winner. And I went back and looked at all of his previous primary results, And what you see there is he's never really clears 70%. And if you think if he's going to win an election, say 70 to 30, that's 40 points. He's usually in the high 50s to high 60s in these elections, depending on how much pushback there actually is from a secondary candidate. He wound up in the high 50s. It's enough for him to get past the runoff. Congratulations to Lindsey Graham, I guess. But at the end of the day, it was kind of wasteful. And it was a lottery ticket. Wasn't a lot of money into it for that. It was a long shot. I think it was at 15 when I wound up buying it. I thought 40 points was really easy. You have three candidates in the race. You should be able to get more than a 40-point win. But he didn't. What was the final on that one again? And just to give it back to you, it was not even 30. I mean, he won by 28. So really, I mean, look, Lindsey Graham being an embarrassment is not breaking news. We might be leading the show with it, but it's not exactly new to anyone. So that's where we were. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to come back on the other side, and I'm going to give you every single position. There's more than 20 of them. Every single position we had during the election last night and how each one of them did. We'll give you those results here in just a moment.
Bezahlen läuft für dich sowieso nur mit dem Handy? Dann hol dir doch was von deiner Kohle zurück. Denn in allen Restaurants und Bars gibt's jetzt 5% Cashback, wenn du mit PayPal zahlst. Tap dir mehr mit PayPal. Alle Infos gibt's auf paypal.de. 5% Cashback nur auf Einkäufe vor Ort in Restaurants und Bars in Deutschland bei kontaktloser Zahlung mit PayPal. Gültig vom 2. Juni bis 19. Juli 2026 für die ersten 850.000 berechtigten Kunden. Maximal 15 Euro Cashback pro Konto. Es gelten Bedingungen auf paypal.de.
Welcome back to Predictable with Stu. Join us at predictableshow.com or on the YouTube page, youtube.com/@predictableshow. And of course, at predictableshow on all social media. So one of the things we try to do after each election is go through all of our positions that we took during a particular primary and just reading them off to you, telling you what we have, what we learned, and kind of looking back at a record, because that's what you have to do in this whole world, right? You can't just throw flyers at the window and not think about it. You need to look back, understand where you are kind of coming from, what your process was. Is it a process problem? Is it a launch problem or a design problem? Did you screw up if you missed something because you just didn't think it through correctly? What can you improve for next time? And then did you win because you got lucky, or did you win because your process was good? And if you analyze that week after week after week, you start improving your process and you start winning even more. So let me tell you what we did here. I'll give you these. Of course, we talked about Maine a little bit already. Plattner, yes, to win. We hit that. Then we had Mills not to win. We also hit that. We also had another earlier position on Golden not to win, and is not even wound up being in the race, but that one did pay as well yesterday. Nevada governor, we had Ford, yes, to win, and Hill, no, which we also did win, so two more wins there. Kind of the opposite side of the coin, if you will. In North Dakota, the House race at large there, Fedorchuk, we had to win that race. That was correct, wound up coming in. And Balazs, I don't know how to pronounce that name, but whatever it was, B-A-L-A-Z-S, B-A-L-A-Z-S. No, we did not think that was going to be a victory, and we were correct on that one. Over the South Carolina Senate, Lindsey Graham to win, as we mentioned. Our largest dollar position was a yes, and Lynch not to win. Was a win as well for us, not for Lynch, unfortunately for him. And I don't know Lynch very well, but Lindsey Graham's annoying enough that I'm just pretty confident that whoever else was there would probably be better. In the Maine Senate race as well, we did have a small position on Susan Collins for a couple of percent, even though she was running unopposed. We'll take it, right? It's free money. For Susan Collins, and that was a win. In the Maine margin markets, we hit with Graham Plattner winning by more than 50% percentage points. That was a yes we had on that market, and it was a win for us as well. And Graham Plattner winning by between 10 and 20%. We said no, it's going to be more than that, and we were correct as well. Another win there. A couple of other minor ones here. California 06, Stansfield, no. We had a few percent on that one. and were able to win. South Carolina governor. So this one's an interesting one. We had Nancy Mace to win, and we did not. We were not correct on that. Ralph Norman to win. We were not correct on that. Well, we lost our investment on that. Rahm Reddy is an interesting one. Rahm Reddy was the third or fifth candidate, however you want to look at it. I think he finished fourth in the actual race. We had him to win. We did wind up being profitable on that particular one, about doubled our money. But that being said, he didn't win. He didn't get into – the real goal of that was him to get into the runoff. But we did get a profit, so we'll count that as a win as well. In Maine, the Plattner vote percentage. This is another way you can play the vote percentage. You can do it by margin. How much does he win over another candidate? Or just how much is his total vote percentage going to be? So we had, there was a market that said, is Graham Plattner going to be below 60%? And we said, no, we were correct on that one. Then we had another market, will Graham Plattner be between 60 and 65% of the vote? We said no on that one, and we were correct on that one as well. And then in South Carolina, we had the same situation. We kind of played it the same way as we did with Plattner. Margin of victory, Lindsey Graham by 40 points. I already complained to you about how I'm annoyed about that particular one. I was wrong on that. He won by 28. But we also played the other side of it. We said, will he win by more than 15%? We said, yes, and we wound up winning with that particular market. And then will he get at least 50% of the vote? Lindsey Graham was another market we were in, and we won with that as well. So, I mean, you're looking at here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So we hit 18 of 21 positions that we had yesterday's market. Am I excited about that? Yeah. I mean, I think I will tell you it was one of the larger sort of total dollars, one of the larger wins that we've had so far. Part of that is because we keep building our bankroll, right? We're taking these dollars that we're making in one election, we're pushing to the next week, and, you know, we're being smart about it. We're not overly investing, making positions that we're more confident than we are. But a couple of these, particularly Plattner and Graham, were pretty large positions for me. That's how we kind of size our positions, or at least we're thinking about small, medium, and large. It was large positions for me. Even though they were smaller percentage gains, we are able to take that with a decent amount of money on top of it and bring in some extra dollars. So hopefully you did the same thing. Hopefully you were in on a lot of these markets. I heard from a ton of you who were in on these markets and were winning along with us. That's what I love doing. It's one thing to, you know, honestly, it's one thing to sit in front of your dumb computer all day, as I did yesterday, and fiddle with these markets and try to get the maximum amount of profit possible. It's a lot of fun to do in the moment. And then, you know, it's kind of over. When you're sharing it with a great group of people like you, it's a lot more satisfying, frankly. I love hearing your stories, honestly, about whether you've won. Even some of the stories where you've lost and you're disappointed, but you realize, hey, I made a mistake this way, or I had, you know, a bad beat this way, or whatever the story is, I love to hear them. Drop them at predictableshow.com or on Twitter or, you know, Facebook, wherever you are. Put the comments in the feed and we will find them and hopefully respond to you. We try to respond to as many as we possibly can, particularly on Substack. If you're at predictableshow.com, put your email address in there. You can comment. And when you do so, I do my best to go through those as much as I can and respond to, even if it's like a specific question to maybe something you're dealing with, I'll do my best to try to understand it and give you a quick response if I can. So if you're learning, if you're trying to put these things together, at predictableshow.com is the place to go, predictableshow.com. I have some of your comments, some of your questions that I think might help everybody to answer, so we'll do that here next.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Cespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Looking at your comments at Predictable Show. Go there. Put your email address in. Win with us when we win. And don't tell us as much about how you're losing with us if we lose. Generally speaking, though, it's been really, really positive so far. I want to take some of your comments from last night's live streams and other stuff that we did yesterday. Nate writes in, already 300% up on that Nancy Mace suggestion based on volatility 2 days ago, rebought at 2%. So this is the one we were talking about, that South Carolina governor race. A lot of people had that experience where they bought at 1% or 2%. Mace went up to, I think, 8% at one point before the election. She wound up coming in fifth place and really never made a run. But if you were aggressive, you could have sold out of that position. I did that with Rahm Reddy, another one of the another politician in that particular contest. So hopefully a lot of you did that, because unfortunately our larger play there didn't wind up picking up. Let's say Harris Weigert writes, "Stu, I took a small position on Alan Wilson in South Carolina at 13%. That's a good price on Wilson. My thinking is that if he makes the runoff, his odds will jump. What are your thoughts on that?" That's exactly what my thought was on playing those lower three candidates. You catch one of them. Honestly, if I could have found Wilson at 13, I may have played all four of them and just hoped, you know, one of them was going to be in the runoff. It was just who would make it there. Well, I wonder what, have we checked yet what that race came out to after the runoff was set? Let's see if I can find that real quick. Let's see, South Carolina, here we go. I thought it would be between 20 and 30. It's 24. So it's 75-25, basically, when you come to what percentage chance it is for Yvette to win and Wilson to win. Yvette is the Trump nominee. We do have a position on that as well, which we don't know if that's going to pay off or not. Right now, it's basically flat. At some point, we will know that here in the next couple of weeks. We may come back into this race, honestly. I'm going to wait a little bit. People were asking me, when do you jump back in on Yvette? Do you go with Wilson on the longer shot? I'm going to wait a little bit of time here. I mean, I will say Yvette, because of the Trump endorsement and a five-person field, I thought Yvette underperformed what she should have expected to get there. She only beat Wilson by about 3 or 4 points, which is kind of scary, I think, if you're Yvette. You want a bigger win than that? You're going to take now half the vote and divide it up. I would say you have Ralph Norman, who is a, you know, Nikki Haley type candidate. You'd think most of his vote is going to go the Wilson way rather than the Yvette way. Nancy Mace dropped out of the race, had a pretty funny tweet about how she got her ass kicked, which was kind of funny. But then she also endorsed Wilson. So those two have endorsed Wilson. Rahm Reddy, I think, would probably go more the Yvette way, but, you know, it's hard to know exactly. At the end of the day, it's an interesting race. I feel like Wilson's probably slightly undervalued right now, but I'm not going to really jump in too hard at the moment. Though our thesis statement of Trump endorsees, it does play into my head a little bit here, because, you know, in a race where it's only two people, a lot of people who love Donald Trump in South Carolina might wind up going with who he endorsed, especially if he gets out there and campaigns and puts some elbow grease into it. So far, hasn't really done that. We will see if that goes forward. Okay, next question. Jared Curry writes, "I bought a couple shares of Lindsey Graham winning by at least 55% to cover a long shot of at least 65%, hoping it pays off." Well, if that is the right, winning by 55 or 65, he did not do that. He underperformed. But that is a strategy that we use. I call it laddering. I don't know if I've ever discussed this, but basically, like, you take a more sure thing where you're going to get some returns, and then you take the profit off of that quote-unquote sure thing, and you invest that in a long shot. All right, so it kind of covers you if you miss on the long shot, but if you connect on the long shot, then you win both, and everybody's happy in the entire world. That's how that usually happens, or at least it can. A2AX Phoenix writes, "Already got OW on Shah in Maine, plus 20%. Shah was the Democratic candidate in Maine for governor. We have, let's see if I can find that market in case you've been following it real quick. Shah is still in the race. You know, that's right. They have the ranked choice voting there, so we don't know what the heck is going to happen. Shah seems to be the second favorite right now, but Phoenix was able to jump in, get the 20% profit, jump out, pocket the cash, move on with their lives. Sometimes you'll feel bad about not staying in and collecting the maximum amount, but honestly, it's never bad to take a profit. Never a bad thing. Stack your gains. Stack with Stu. Okay, Chopper writes, "My first win. Time to take this and turn it into my retirement." Yes, Chopper. We are on the path to you at a beach with a boat and, I don't know, you know, I don't know, a delicious ice cream cone, whatever it is, whatever you want to do for your retirement, hopefully it's coming through. And this is going to help maybe a little bit. Maybe it makes your retirement, maybe it doesn't pay for your entire retirement. Maybe it makes that retirement a little bit better. Maybe there's a nicer restaurant in your future. Maybe there's a nicer, present for your son, or your grandson, or your daughter, or your granddaughter. Maybe it's just a, you know, it's just a 250-foot yacht. Whatever it comes to for you is great. Okay, this is a longer one, but I wanted to feature it because I love the vibes of this. Homer writes, love all the content. Every time I go against you, I lose. First of all, thank you. Almost every trade I've made with you, I've made money. That's good. We like that. I couldn't imagine Massey losing. That was from a few weeks ago and got savagely decimated on that one. I've also made several mistakes on the margin and percentage markets. Embarrassing considering what my day job is. My seed, so the money he's putting in his bankroll, if you will, was 100%. This is a good idea, by the way. 100% money I could afford to lose. Very good way to start. My goal is after November to fully recover. Really should have listened sooner about Massey. Using preset limit orders tonight helped me take out the emotion. That's a tough thing. I will say trading is tough with emotion. I made 25% on the limits that executed, which was almost all of them. Most markets I got in less than a week ago. I only lost on the South Carolina governor race, but Mace popping up earlier covered half of those tiny losses. So many people had that experience. We talked about it. I put a message out on Predictable Show's website as well saying, hey, you know, these are up. You can take your profits now, or you can let them ride, one of the two. But at the very least, we're all at least up right now. Every one of those positions we recommended at the beginning wound up doubling. I wound up taking some profits off of one of them and letting the other two ride to essentially a break-even position. I might have actually lost a couple bucks on those, but overall, not too worried about it. It was small dollars. Anyway, I put too much of a flyer on stupid Graham. Lindsey Graham, who's always a disappointment. No, that should be his campaign slogan. Lindsey Graham, always a disappointment. Anyway, he says, it was a rough start, and I expected that, and I really appreciate you and the team making the show and not just keeping it to yourself. That's going to be a ton of extra work. I hope that the show makes you guys money like I'm starting to make watching it. That's awesome, Homer. I love that experience. I mean, because you're going to have those days where things don't go your way. You're going to get into a market and it's going to bend the opposite way. I mean, South Carolina kind of happened. I mean, really, the only thing that could have happened in South Carolina to screw up that strategy happened. Okay, that's fine. You're not going to win. You know, we're not going to go 162-0 in our Major League Baseball season. We just want to win 100 games, right? We want 110 games, maybe 115 games. We want to be able to have a really good record over a long period of time. We want to keep stacking those gains. And we're kind of building towards the future. We're kind of in this together here, as at least the way that I look at it. When I look at your comments, I've already taken several of your comments and put little marker positions on them, even if I hadn't even looked into it, because I wanted to just make sure I'm kind of tracking the thought process there. I love, you know, not only hearing, hey, I won 20% on this, that's thanks, which is great, but I also love hearing, here's why I wanted to go this direction. Here's what I was trying to do. Here are the things that I've learned after missing on a position. That is how we all get better here. And I'm looking at your results that you're posting, and I'm already seeing better results than I was seeing 3 or 4 weeks ago. Like, people, I think, are really looking at this and starting to understand how these things work. And I love that. I just love that you guys are connecting with this and able to make a little profit for yourself and build towards the future, because November's coming. And in November, just to give you a preview of what that looks like, you've got, you know, 30 Senate races. You've got hundreds of House races. You've got governor races all over the place. You've got control of the House and the Senate. You've got state Senates. You've got a million different races like that. You've got margin markets for all of them. You have, and here's the thing about a lot of these races, particularly on the upper half of what I just described, there's tons of money that's going to be in these markets, tons of liquidity. Lots of opportunities all over the place. And we want to have enough money freed up for that time to be able to go into those markets and profit together, because there are going to be a lot of opportunities. When you see them, send them in. Let us know. Let's talk about them. Let me go through them. Let me analyze them. And maybe we can get some wins together, because, this isn't a one-way street here. I'll do my best to give you my picks and the way I'm thinking about these markets. But if you see stuff as well, post it. Let me know about it. Send it to me because, you know, not only can it be interesting for everyone else to see, but it also might help you think through the market a little bit more or maybe in a different way. I think the more that we kind of talk about this stuff and understand each other and where we're coming from, the better we're going to do as we hit to November. So that's where we are today. At predictableshow.com is the place to go. Just go there. Connect with the website. Start reading the pieces. We're going to probably do another written one this week. I had a couple that I've been kind of thinking about and wanting to do for a while. We're going to do some election preview stuff probably tomorrow for Tuesday's elections. There's not, I mean, do I have still a machine? I don't remember all the elections that we have coming up this week. There's not a ton, but we'll try to find a couple that we can maybe take advantage of and build those gains a little bit more. And then next week, we have a lot of really interesting stuff as well. Tomorrow, another show for you. We should think about, should we look at the UFC event at the White House for fun tomorrow? Because that could be, I don't know anything about the UFC. I don't know anything about MMA. I don't know anything about UFC. But I am mildly interesting that we've got a giant fight breaking out on the White House lawn. And that I kind of want to talk about. So maybe we'll go into that as well. If you have any thoughts on that, if you know that stuff, send them in because that could be fun as well. All right. Thanks so much for joining us on social media at Predictable Show. It's Predictable with Stu. Also at YouTube.com/@PredictableShow. And join us with your email at Predictable Show, the website, PredictableShow.com. See you.